This is the Hour of Truth. Welcome to another week. I'm Paul Muller. Philip Walthall with me here on my right. And I have Scott Bishop and James Utzler on Skype.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
And a hearty good morning back, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what they were thinking. So, did we get enough run across our plates today that made us uncomfortable? Or I know I was getting uncomfortable as I was talking about, continuing to talk about, what's it to me? What's it to me? Back at the end of John, where Jesus tells Peter, what's it to you? What? Peter's worried about, well, what are you going to have John do? He says, what's it to you?
Yeah. Right after him, he's telling him how he's going to die for him.
Yeah.
Hey, well, what about John?
You've got to have something really special saved up for him then, right? He spent the entire time you've been here with his head on your chest, man. Come on. Yeah. I mean, that's how we are. And, this Peter guy, he's not any different than any of the rest of us were.
Not at all.
So, it's that question, what's it to you, is always, if you spring to answer that one too quick, all you're doing is you're justifying yourself, you're showing how prideful and arrogant and presumptuous you are. There's no good end to that. When that mouth, the words start falling out, it's really hard to pull back.
You did bring up justify yourself, because there was something that I, when I was doing the service, one thing I didn't really make clear, I don't believe when you justify yourself, because I talked about that a little bit. When you justify yourself, what you're essentially saying, when we talk about, but if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. And, you hear where David, how he repented for the Lord and said it was my fault, and Saul, how he justified himself. And when we justify ourselves before the Lord, we deceive our own selves. And in the sense of, what we're saying is we're telling the Lord, I don't need your grace. I don't need your mercy because I'm not guilty.
Sure, you're saying you're just.
And right.
You don't need, the forgiveness. You don't need the mercy. You done right.
Right.
I think it may be a closer truth to say I'm just awful.
Absolutely. And the Lord, and the Lord meets you there. Yeah. You go to the scripture, God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. The Lord meets the humble where he goes, I'm just a mess, Lord. And he met David where David said, my sin is ever before me. Right. Be clear when thou judgest. He's saying, look, be clear. I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I did this. Nobody else. Nobody else's fault.
That's right. Well, listen, Steve goes through Colossians 3. And, kind of hitting several things that we talked about. Love is a choice, and if you're gonna come in Jesus' place, you're going to have to love as He loved. That's what it looks like when love is manifesting itself in our lives, and that doesn't happen very often. That's the whole problem. And then he hits into Colossians 3, and the whole thing is about a choice. Love is a choice. You were going to say something, Scott? Dane?
Yeah, I was just going to add in that, you know, amen, love is a choice, and it's not the choice that we're sort of set up for default. You know what I mean? It
doesn't come natural.
Right. So that makes it a harder choice.
Well, the love we're set up for by default is ourselves. We love ourselves.
And really, not with a good love do we love ourselves. Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we love to give into the flesh is what we love to do, which an all ending of that is death.
Right, so to choose, you know, agape love or to love somebody else, I mean, that's hard.
Yeah, but you see Jesus as the perfect example in that. And, you know, Paul's kind of hitting on in that, you know, I lay down my life for my friends. He chose to do that. And one of the things I read, which Davey said, and I want to hit this up, Davey said, he wanted to know what I said, you know, after Paul was saying there, and I read something out of
I referenced Hebrews 12.
Yeah, Hebrews 12 was,
and Philip read it,
and was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Look, I mean, the choice that he did it for the joy that was set before him. It was a joy for him to do that for our sakes and for the disciples' sakes and that anybody who received him's sake. That's why it was joy. He was beaten. He was left alone. He was beaten openly. He was put up on the cross, stripped down and naked. And he did that because he knew that that was our only hope. That was our only chance from what he did. That's love. And he chose to do that.
Right.
And he chose to do that because he says, look, nobody take it from me, but I lay it down. He's talking about his life. And then you see him battling that choice in the garden. And he goes, look, I want this past the cup from me, Father, but not my will be done, but yours. But he did it for the joy that was set before him. I wanted to describe the agape love.
Right. And it's not within our capacity when we're ministering to the flesh. It's not within our capacity to love that way. It's all conditional at that point. It's, I will act this way so that they will act this way back to me. And I'm going to do this to get that. And
the same thing that with the Gentiles seek. Do you do good to them only that does good to you? I mean, the Gentiles do the same thing is what he says in the Beatitudes.
Comes natural.
Yeah, it does come natural.
Y'all are awful quiet again. When we do one of these pregnant pauses, you're supposed to, you know, pipe in and say something.
Well, even in Matthew, Jesus is speaking about, you know, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. When we're walking in the love of Christ, our whole intention is for them to break through and also walk in that love of Christ. You know, and if we are offended by them or despise them, we're not showing them that love that they can see.
Right. I mean, because the love that Jesus shed was one that everybody could see that what they have done to that innocent man up there at the cross.
Yeah, I mean, he loved
they could see their own sin. Right. I mean, they could see their own sin up there on that cross. And it being laid on a man that didn't deserve it.
Right.
And if
he loved us when we were unlovable.
Amen.
And that's our same thing we need to do with our enemies.
Amen. Absolutely.
And, you know, it just ties it up in a pretty little bow that Steve was talking about of Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That one of the reasons for that is because the Lord has a reward for you of the inheritance. And all you're going to get from man at the outside best is a thank you. And at the worst, you'll just be hated for doing it. So, it really only makes sense. And as whatever you do, doing it heartily is unto the Lord. Wasn't that exactly what Jesus was doing?
Amen.
And you know, it was the whole persona of it. Dave was talking a while back out of that, you know, with the confidence a couple of weeks ago in the Texas service. Jesus waited around and took his time getting Lazarus, because he knew whatever time he got there and he said, Lazarus come forth, he was coming forth. But so the people there could believe, and want to make sure he was thoroughly and completely dead and stinking. And, you know, even those who were dear to Jesus did not understand that, the outrageous capabilities they were dealing with here. They figured he had to have been there at the time of his passing, or he couldn't raise him from the dead. And that's absolutely not the case. Not the case. And, you know, out of 1 John, we say we abide in him, we ought also to walk as he walked. That's how he walked. He had confidence that he was doing the will of the Father, so the Father was going to meet him in every situation, in every circumstance. And Lazarus was no exception.
And like you said, the point of that waiting around to raise Lazarus from the dead is so that they can believe on whom the Father sent, so that they might have eternal life. I mean, that was the point of the whole
thing.
They're
all asking, why you take so long, man? If you'd only been here, he could have been alive. And, you know, they didn't really understand that. It was unbelief.
No, and I mean, you know, you hear Jesus saying, he goes, oh, Lazarus is not dead, he sleepeth.
Oh, then if he's sleeping, everything's going to be fine.
They didn't, they were looking at this whole thing carnally. And, you know, the Lord was looking at it spiritually, another subject, but.
Right. Oh, me. So that really does dovetail into, you know, part of the messages that were brought forth this morning dealing with belief and unbelief, really. And we have to get to that point where we read the word and we actually believe it and move forward and walk in that confidence, knowing that it's true.
Amen. And the other thing to that, according to his will, you know, because anything outside his will is worth nothing, you know?
Yeah, you can look at that as when Charlie was talking. You know, it wasn't God's will for that demoniac to be healed, so Charlie didn't have to see it anymore or
so,
deal with
so
it.
So he didn't have the inconvenience.
It was that God would heal her if Charlie
would love her.
Would love her, yeah. If Charlie was seeking to show God's love to her.
Because he was loving himself, right, trying to get away from that, as opposed to loving the woman.
Putting the somebody, you know, your brother before you.
Right.
The conditional, the terms, I should say, of the relationship with Jesus is, and it is conditional, because there's some good promises in John 15, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, he says something similar to that probably five or six times in 14, 15, and 16. But they're in a different context. And one of them I was looking at this morning is in a context where he's talking about you have not asked anything yet, but now when you do, you shall receive. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world have they not, they've been with him this long and they haven't asked anything in his name? And the point of that one was, he's still here. They haven't done it in his place yet, but they will.
Amen.
And it'll work.
Amen. And what you have is anything you ask, because the reason why is that their focus, kind of like what you're saying about Charlie. I didn't hear Charlie this morning, but their focus was to change that focus. That focus for Charlie need to be that she be delivered so that she may know the Lord. You know, the things that they're going to be asking in his name in his stead is that so others may know the Lord.
Right.
As is when Jesus went and raised up Lazarus from the dead. And it's according to thy will. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that David was saying, look, say the prayers that you know the Lord's going to answer. I mean, look, it's not bad to make your requests made known unto the Lord. You know, but if it's, Lord, strengthen me to do thy will, that's a prayer he's going to answer me. Lord, and it's all about doing his will. He's going to answer that. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Mine's dirty. I need it to serve. Love others with. He's going to answer that prayer. But if it's, Lord, I want to take it to the Bon Jovi concert, which he might give it to you. I mean, he loves to bless us. He does it with us all the time. But yeah, that's not necessarily a thing that I know he's going to answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I mean, and we can simply refer to James in that matter. I mean, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust.
Right.
I mean, it, you know, what was it that said? And he will get shall give you the desires of your heart.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Look, you delight yourself. The desires of your heart, when that change, he's going to give it to you. When it changed according to his will, you're going to get those desires.
When you're all you about know pleasing, I mean, the Lord, the desires of your heart are going to change.
Better put. Thank you. Yes.
It's going to be the desires of your heart, I would hope, would be to please the Lord.
Amen.
A thing.
Well, it's because then
we're open to his direction and leading.
We're about his business, not ours.
Yeah. The same way, in the same manner, Jesus, as the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue in my love.
Right.
That was really not the one I was looking for. But it there's, you know, several of those, you know, as I have done, so do. So, you know, he's boldly stating that, you know, I'm the example here.
Well, and you know, the other thing, I mean, you know, so if Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, you know, I mean, Steve was really talking about doing things heartily as unto the Lord. And when it's all about the Lord, and you choose it, and choosing that agape love, and it's all about the Lord, we can have joy in whatever it is that the Lord would have us do. Whatever the Lord that has put in front of us to do. I mean, how else could the Paul and Barnabas, or is it Paul and Silas? It was Paul and Silas, I think, rejoice and praise God when they were thrown in the uttermost part of the prison. And this uttermost part of the prison, that's where all the crap falls down to. That's at the bottom. And they were singing and praising the Lord.
These things I've spoken, you know what I mean? You, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Your joy becomes full when it becomes fully connected back to what brings the Father joy. And what brings the Father joy is seeing people receive Him and receive His grace and His mercy.
Amen.
And you want to get connected with His joy and it be full of it, then you have to be committed to telling people about how good He is.
Amen.
And that they can receive peace. They can receive reconciliation. They can receive the love and mercy and grace in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, you know, that's not good. Everything just disappeared on the screen. That's scary when that happens. And you're in the middle of a show.
I'm glad that you had said that when you're delighting yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart, put it much clearer where that if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, the desires of your heart is going to be wanting to see people receive the goodness of the Lord. That's what it's going to be. The desires of your heart is going to be one that pleases the Lord.
One that wants to please,
the Lord. Yeah, amen.
Seeks to please the
Lord. Amen.
You know, and that's that Philippians 2, for it is God who works the will and to do of His good pleasure in you, of His good pleasure. It's not any credit you can take for it anyway.
No, not at all.
But you want a prayer, He'll answer. He'll answer that one.
Lord, amen.
Work in me to will and to do of Thy good pleasure.
Yeah, Lord, I mean, it's just like, I mean, me, I mean, it's type and shadow of David. Lord, create in me a clean heart, you know, because it's mine dirty. Look, I don't have it in me to want to love you.
The verse before that is, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Why is that fearful and trembling? Well, if you have you're going to fix and ask the Lord to totally change who you are and what you're about. What you've been about your whole life is serving yourself, and you're about to ask Him to give you the ability and the desire to please Him.
Amen.
That's going to change the entire dynamic of your life, and He will answer that one.
Amen. And it's good when it happens.
Crickets.
When you brought that up, Paul, that reminds me of when I became a Christian a few years back here. I mean, I prayed a similar thing. And the scary part is, you know, you pray that prayer and you kind of think, you know, like Steve was talking about, that everything you were doing is just awesome, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you start finding out that it's not so good, and then actually having to, you know, believing and moving forward and setting that stuff aside and choosing to do something differently. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
Amen.
That's the hard part. That's the part I'm working on still.
I think we all are, Scott.
At that point, you got a choice. You can hang on to your old self for dear life and go, ah! or, you know, you just submit yourself and let him, you know, do his work, in which case you're going to see some stuff that was ugly.
Well, right. And what you just said, you know, holding on for your dear life.
Right.
If you think back to, you know, it was a few weeks ago, Davey was talking about love yourself, love your soul.
Yeah.
And if you're going to hold on to dear life, how about life eternal? How about choosing him? How about holding on to that life?
Yeah, you're just holding on to the wrong thing.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that Ricky years ago, it reminds me of some, when talking about submitting on the Lord, and when he got to a place where, I mean, he's like, look, Lord, here is my heart. Lord, I'm putting it in your hands, I'm putting my life in your hands. And he said when he actually did, it was the scary thing. It was the most scariest thing. He did not want to let go. But it was a scary thing for him.
I was reading.
What, you know, but when he did let go, that's when the Lord was able to move and meet Rick where he was.
Oh, amen. And,
it's realization that I'm a mess up. I fail at everything I do. Lord, I need you because I can't do anything. I mean, you hit on that this morning in service, Phil, you know?
Amen. And, you know, that's one, I mean, and also another thing that reminds Rick, because he remembers he's coming to, and I actually talked to him about this is when he reminded me, it was, you know, I can say I love the Lord, I can say these things, but the truth to be told in my actions, I don't. You know, I don't. And that's that, that honest, humble, I don't know how to word, look, but use the word, but, that's that humble, honest before him. And Paul, that reminds me where you can go to Philippians, you know, Lord, Lord, Philippians, to do of his goodwill and his pleasure. He's the one that gives you that. And you can go to Lord with where you're at. Because
right.
He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Because to come to that place, and kind of like we were talking about that justification saying we don't need it. We don't need it. I mean, that's a place where you're coming to where you're saying, I do need it. And I don't have it.
Right.
And I need you, Lord. Kind of reminds me of John 15, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, if we think we have something to offer, we're never going to grow in the Lord. And he's never going to be able to... We're never going to be in a place to receive the good things the Lord has for us. You know, he's right there, but we're not going there.
Right,
and that's what I was talking about, ceasing from our own works. I mean, because that's our own works.
Sure, if we can't
get
from the Lord, then we can't give it to anybody else. All we can offer other people is ourselves, and that ain't going to do them, you know, no good at all.
Amen.
How does?
John 15, verse 9. As the Father's loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And then... Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love me? How did he love you? He loved you as the Father had loved him. And he hasn't done it yet, but it's actually going to go to the point of bloodshed.
Yeah.
For us.
Amen. Because in next... Because the next verse, greater hath love than no man.
And a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And what did I just command
you? Lay down your life for your friends. And
love one another.
Love one another, which is lay down your life for your friends. I mean, in the truth.
Submit what your desires are, your what you were about doing, to being about them and helping them and loving them, being caring for them.
You might present yourself a living sacrifice, and what also comes to remembrance is remember that the parable of the corn. And Davey, I remember preaching in the ministry conference about the corn. Before the corn gives off any fruit, it must go down and then it must die first. I mean, before we can do any good at all to anybody out there at all, we must first die to ourselves first. And that's an everyday thing. Doesn't Paul say, "And I die daily"? He's talking about dying to himself every single day.
That's right. I was hitting.
You know, the love of the Lord, you know, Stephen really manifested that well when he was being stoned. You know, in verse 60 in Acts 7. "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Yeah, I mean, he's being persecuted. You know, that would be like, I'm about to get shot and I'm asking the Lord to not lay this sin to them.
Sure. And it's very similar to what Jesus said as well when he was on the cross.
Amen.
What he said in Matthew 6.
And in doing that, you know, an interesting thing just popped into my head. In doing that, you're really loving your enemy, right? Because your enemy's trying to kill you. And in our natural flesh, you know, our minds are at enmity with God, right?
Defend yourself.
Yeah.
So if we are, you know, if we put on the mind of Christ and we walk as Christ walked, anybody who's in their flesh is going to be our enemy, and therefore we need to love them. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
Well, the great thing about this is, yeah, in John 15, he goes from 15:13 to 15:14. "From greater love hath no man this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, to ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you." You can be his friend. For, you know, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant calleth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Ye have met. That's, we have the ability to know everything that the Father gave him for them, his disciples, on their testimony, by believing on their testimony. They got everything he received from the Father for them, and we can have it too.
Amen. That's what, I remember you doing that in service this morning, and I said to myself quietly, I said, that is an invitation.
Yeah.
"You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." That's simply humbling yourself.
So march around that wall seven times and then scream at the top of your lungs. Boy, that looks stupid. And that's just the truth. But it worked.
Amen. But they were obedient to what he commanded them.
Yeah.
That's how he wanted it to work. Because who in the right mind, they didn't have to lay their hands on hold on anything. When the walls came down, they just shouted with their voices and the Lord moved. And you could see it mightily that it was the Lord's hand. I mean, you got right there. I mean, it's just an open invitation that we can be his friend. And if we're not his friend, it's not really anybody's fault but our own. Because right there is an open invitation.
Well, there you go. And that dovetails to what Steve was saying by, you know, having that single eye. And you can't, you know, have two masters. It's either God or mammon. You know, make your choice. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, amen.
Well, the henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That you know what I'm doing. And you want to be a part of it. You want to do the same things I want you to do. Then you're my man. You're my friend. You are part of the information flow now.
Basically, you're a part of me.
Yeah. That's what this whole thing of abiding in the vine and, you know, all that stuff is about. All that stuff is about. This is available to you. And we just don't... We don't fully grasp either its simplicity or our lack of understanding about how the love, the agape, manifests itself. Watch Jesus. Listen to what he says. Look at what he does. That is the uninterrupted information flow from the Father to Jesus, and the outcome for everybody he ministered to was the outcome of Father had given. Wasn't about Jesus. Wasn't about Jesus' ability at all. It was humbled before the Father, and it was all about doing what he wanted him to do and saying what he wanted him to say.
And to the point of the saving of souls.
Right. That's it. And If our focus could get that single-minded, single, that I be single, and that would be what we were looking to do, there would be massive movement somewhere. Somebody needs to be chasing you to kill you, or there'd be other people chasing you to have them tell them more.
Amen.
But it would show who had been operating in the anointing of the Lord and who was seeking it and who was resisting it. Another Jesus says, I tell you, I haven't come to bring peace but a sword. When you choose sides, when you choose Jesus, everybody else around you chooses sides.
Amen. I was telling, doing a Bible study with Kat the other night. I was talking about you're in two camps. You're in the camp of the Lord, or you're in the camp of the enemy.
Right.
It's black and white. It's either light or it's darkness. There's no gray area here. There's no gray area. That's why I say he's come to see the bring a sword, not peace, but a sword. Mm-hmm. Because people are going to choose what side they really want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Do they want to follow the Lord and the grace and the mercy that he has, or they want to follow themselves and keep on to their old deeds? That's going to kill them.
Paul is not in another room. Paul is sitting right next to Phil at the table with the mic in his face. Just responding to some chat. There are some things that I'm doing that I'm not desiring that you hear, but
I'm confused. But
yeah, I'm just going to ignore the chat. But you're talking about black and white and gray. I mean, in the Lord, there's black and white. Out there in the world, it's all gray. And in order for somebody that's in that cloud, that all gray, to actually see that there is a difference, there needs to be a people that'll stand and show that there's a difference. Then somebody can make a choice. And all too often we see in the word that, you know, vast majorities of people make the wrong one, but at least then they'll know that there is a choice. And that's what we need to do.
Amen. Yeah.
If you started to act, walking around carrying yourself as the friend of Jesus, there'd be some sides taken. It would show who is real and who is a pretender.
Amen. And what you got, Scott, and I'm saying that out there in the world's all gray, the truth of the matter, it is black and white. Truth is just black and white. But by their own deceivableness and being in the enemy's camp, it's painted gray. do you get what I'm saying? It's just not the truth. It's just not the truth. It's either you're in the enemy's camp or the Lord's camp. Really no gray, but the world wants to keep it gray. He wants to keep that grayness there. And that's the enemy. That's what the world does. Because the world's the enemies, right? I mean, we go to...
Class of milk, class of poison. Mix poison with the milk. Milk poison. Mix milk with the poison. It's poison. It's the same thing. Now you've got maybe the poison was clear. You've clattered it up with the milk. But it's still poison.
It could be deceived as... Yeah, it could be deceived as milk, but not the case.
Right. Right. Such as the poison of the gray.
Right.
The gray is a false covering of either evil or truth. Which make it evil.
Something else I was going to mention, I forgot.
But, you know, the whole thing still comes back to the choices we want to make. We want to humble ourselves and tell, you know, Lord, that we're not where we should be, and we haven't been seeking to please Him, and we're really... Work in me to willing to do of His good pleasure. If you ask that one, he's going to answer it.
Amen.
And then you can find that you can delight yourself in the Lord. You couldn't before. You can now. If you think that not choosing is safe, it's aligning yourself with the darkness is what it is. Not choosing is choosing.
Yeah, exactly.
You choose to not choose, and well, you're not safe at that point. And there, we know that there is only one safety.
Right.
Amen.
So you set your affections on things that are above. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And it's a good and healthy fear to fear not pleasing Him.
Amen.
I don't want to miss pleasing Him.
You know, I did like what Steve said about that and pleasing. I mean, a lot of times, you know, what he was talking about, you know, how he bought his brother the Beatles CD that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if his wife makes him a dinner with chocolate in it and she thinks that's pleasing, still not pleasing. Because it's not finding out what that person desires.
Right.
What that person wants. I mean, are we truly spending the time to find out what our Lord wants? Are we truly spending the time to find out what's our Lord's desire, or our Master's desire when we're serving Him at work, or what our brothers and sisters' needs are. Not what we think what their needs are, what we need, and put that on them. No, what their need is. You know, that's love. Now, we can't do that with our own mind.
and our own ability, but with the Lord and His discernment, we can.
Amen. That's right.
And He hasn't held that back from us, because that's what He wants. That's what He wants for their sake.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my saying, you'll keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That's the alignment of choosing sides that takes place when you start acting radically like someone whose total and complete desire is to please the Lord. That's radical. That's crazy radical. Nobody's like that. They may try to throw you in a rubber suit, rubber jacket, rubber room. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, a rubber room.
Well, I've been there before, but I mean, that's because of my own stupidity. Not I mean, don't get me wrong here, guys. I'm just saying, at least I've been there. I mean, sidetrack. I apologize. Forgive me, Paul.
Somebody figured you out, huh?
Paul, when we are solely committed to serving the Lord, then the Lord is able to use us. We become a profitable servant.
Right.
Yeah, you do. And when the going's good, that's easy. You know what I mean? That's kind of like the smooth road. You know, I got a vehicle. You guys all probably got vehicles. You know what I mean? Driving it on a smooth road with a nice alignment, that's pretty easy, right?
You talking about bumps coming up?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you got some sort of tribulation, some sort of strife, and you hit these bumps, and all of a sudden I know my vehicle, the alignment's all out of whack. And what do I got to do? I got to bring it in and get that thing realigned, you know?
Oh, it's chain brakes. Oh, the pedals won't pedal anymore.
Right. Yep. And, I mean, and what you have is, I mean, you know, for the joy, I mean, you know, I look at that, it's easy when it's going right, you're right. But when you're actually getting persecuted, or when you actually getting hated for, when you actually got people going against you because you are speaking the truth.
That's that rubber.
Well, that's a different, that's the rubber meeting the road there, like you have said before. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what Jesus did for us and Stephen did for us.
It's your alignment right at that point and you can make it through. But if you get knocked off course, if you get that alignment off, I mean, you know, that ain't good.
Amen. The thing is, I'm sitting there thinking about how's Peter taking this thing? Because Peter has just had this conversation a few weeks ago with Jesus about so what's this one going to do? And he says, what's it to you? Stephen was getting handed the massive what's it to you. And his response was, lay not this sin to their charge. It was the same act that Jesus, almost the same sentence Jesus gave at the cross.
Yeah, and Jesus said, yeah, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. They know not what they do.
Correct. It was certainly the same spirit.
Oh, absolutely. Amen. Amen.
But, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Their sin has been exposed.
He took away the gray paint that was covering the truth.
Right. He had mineral spirits.
I just came to realization, we're dweebs, man.
Say what?
I just came to realization, we're dweebs, man.
Yes.
I'm surprised it took you this long.
This whole time I thought I was actually cool, and then it just hit me. It's one of those things I'm just having a hard time with now. No, I'm
teasing. He had hated me, hated my father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my father. This is the side picking. It's almost taking a sword to a functioning body and cutting off the legs. I mean, it's, you know, they had their system. I really should just take the chat off because it's too funny sometimes. How it takes me off somewhere else. Everybody's impressed with your dweeb comment, everybody.
Just confirms that I am one.
But this cometh fast, the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, their law. They hated me without a cause. And then, you know, most of the rest of this and through the next chapter in John deals, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send you. I mean, that's a radical concept again. He loves us enough that he cares about making us comfortable in our ability to rely on him and to trust him to care for us. Right back out of the Beatitudes. Take no thought for today. I'm just I'm amazed at.
You know what's good about that? I mean, it's the same Spirit of God. And when I say Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, big S.
Yeah.
You know, that same Holy Spirit of God that Jesus was walking with, that and the that Jesus had, that he did the works, and that glorified the Father, is the same Spirit he's giving to us if we will but receive it.
Mm-hmm.
To operate in. I mean, it's just, that's awesome. I mean, you talk about when he takes you in as his, you're talking about he takes you in as his, gives you everything you need. It's a good thing.
Yeah, we have access to everything he had access to.
Absolutely.
There's nothing left out.
That's right.
Nothing held back.
Nothing held back.
And there's nothing. And really, that leaves us, the truth of the matter, guys, that leaves us with no excuse to walk as he walked. Does it? I mean, it just doesn't. No excuse at all.
I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. But as Paul learned, I can do all things through Christ Jesus.
Who strengthens. But that's going, getting to that place is the humble place where you die to yourself in the morning. You die to the old man. Mm-hmm. You realize that that's the case. You cease from your own works. You enter into his rest. Yes, you enter into his body. You enter into what he is able to do, not what you're able to do. Unless that's even less burdensome. What did he say? Take my yoke upon me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easier thing because that doesn't rely on me and what I'm able to do. It relies on Jesus and what he has done and what he's able to do. It's far better.
Yep.
Because what I'm able to do is just screw things up royally. It's a proven fact.
Yeah, we leave a path of destruction.
Yeah.
Well, we know what Philip's been through. He does distinguish himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
All right, folks. I think that's another hour of truth wrapped up. Anybody got any parting thoughts?
It's been fun joining you guys.
I love you guys.
Love you too, Philip. And Paul.
Guys online.
Dweeb.
That's my parting thought.
You dweebs.
Yeah, I'm being a dweeb again.
All right. Lord willing, be back here next week and be silly and still speak some truth. And that's what it's called, the Hour of Truth. We thank you for joining us.
May God bless everybody.